go here. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa mamala. So if you guys go here, you should be able to follow me here. I don't know what is going on with this thing, man. This is nuts. Unfortunately, it looks like Crowdcast cannot handle this many people, mashallah. So I'm going to go here. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina Rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala. So it looks like we had to move because we had so many people on that platform. It looks like Crowdcast can't handle that number of people, mashallah, mashallah. So the text that we are going over is a text called Essentials of Islamic Faith. Alhamdulillah, that book we are going to teach to you all, and it's a very important book that kind of covers the foundations of faith and really helps make things, I think, relevant to the lives of young Muslims. As I said earlier, it's important. It creates a sense of passion and motivation, as well as a sense of responsibility and discipline. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he describes Sayyidina Umar, وَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ فَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, he was like dead. Allah resuscitated him with faith. If we look at the magicians in the time of Sayyidina Musa, وَأَلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Those magicians, subhanAllah, they had this awakening, right? They had this revival of faith. Unfortunately, now we see sometimes with this demographic of young brothers and sisters, the way faith is taught, you're intimidated, you're not encouraged to ask questions, you're not encouraged to engage in the name of neo-traditionalism, you turn the sheikh to be more important than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on and so forth. And these are a lot of serious problems in our education system, or we just have people who are untrained and unqualified teaching, and again, hurt people. So hurt people, hurt people. We want to motivate you and to encourage you. We want to be there for you and your parents, especially as you're going through this difficulty with the coronavirus. All of us are quarantined. It's not easy, mashallah. It's not easy. It's a very fearful time. So we thought it would be important, mashallah, to kind of recap and go through a text that touches on the foundations of faith and aqidah. Faith and aqidah. So the book that we're going to go through is called Al-Aqidah Al-Tawhidi. It's written by a teacher of a teacher of a teacher of one of my teachers, mashallah. And it's a really cool book, and I wrote an explanation of it, and I used the questions that I got on Snapchat from young people, mashallah. I used those questions from them to actually put this book together, so that way it stays somewhat relevant. And I encourage you also to ask questions, right, and engage. The more you ask, the more you learn, and the more you engage. I remember when I started teaching at NYU, I started teaching a halaqa for young Muslims, and it was in tafsir, and people would raise their hands, and whenever they would raise their hands, they would say like, sorry, 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 sorry. And, you know, I begin to notice like, why are people saying they're sorry? And it was strange to me. So finally, I wasn't taught that way. I was taught that, you know, it's encouraged to ask questions. My teachers were secure enough for people to ask them questions, mashallah. And if they didn't know, they didn't know. So I remember, subhanAllah, finally I said, I'm like, can I ask you guys a question? Why are you saying sorry before you ask? And they said, well, we were taught, like in Islam, Sunday school, we're allowed to ask questions. I was like, la, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, innama shifa al-ra'iyya. You know, for any illness is to ask a question. Is to ask a question. So, alhamdulillah, we're going to start this text together. In the chat, you can actually find an unedited print of alhamdulillah that you can use. as we go through this book together, inshallah ta'ala. In the introduction of this book, and there are actually going to be quizzes, drills, questions and answers, there is actually a syllabus that I will be sending out to you as well. So inshallah, this is an actual class, right? You're expected to do certain things. In the beginning of the book, I talk about an experience that I had when I was very young. And subhanAllah, I was traveling on the road from Kansas City to Oklahoma City. And this was like in the 90s, man. So I actually, when I was in college, because conversion also comes sometimes with a financial sacrifice. So when I converted to Islam, I immediately had to become self-reliant. I had to fund my life, basically. So I bought a car for $250. Yes, $250. $250. It was crazy. And that car was an orange 1983 Toyota. Yeah, and it had this old school radio that, you know, like you could only listen to like AM radio. So as I was driving home, I started to like get sleepy, you know what I'm saying? So I turned on the radio and I started listening to talk radio. And this guy came on, he was like, today we're going to talk about a threat to America. He's this white dude. We talk about a threat to America, the incoming invasion. I was like, holy camoli, like, incoming invasion, you know, I started freaking out. And he's like, Al Islam and these Muslims. So I was like, what? So I got upset because I was Muslim. I was actually in a thobe, you know what I'm saying, going through the country in a $250 Toyota. And so I pulled over and I got to a payphone. For those of you who remember what a payphone is, and I called the radio station. And I was ready to go full double barrel on this dude, man. So I called the radio station and I got on. And I didn't say, like, my name is Suhaib Abdul Jabbar ibn David ibn Maryam ibn Abdul Kirmilari Dhul Iqra. I was like, my name is William Webb, you know what I mean? So I used that card. It's like, yo, my name is William Webb. So I talk like that, you know what I'm saying? And I got on. And they had this specialist who was an Egyptian Christian. And he was just like throwing us under the bus, man. He was like really, really saying things about Islam that are unacceptable. So I got on the air with him and I began to go back and forth with him. And he got so angry that the host asked him to calm down. But the reason that I was able to do that, the reason that I was able to pull over, look for 75 cents in my seat and make that phone call is I had studied. I was studying with a teacher. And that gave me the confidence. And one of the outcomes of studying correctly is confidence, not arrogance. There's a difference between arrogance and confidence. Confidence. So that is one of the reasons that I put this book together for young people, is that I feel sometimes the ethos of education in the Muslim community is very power driven. It's about establishing personal power of the teacher or personal power of the group, or personal power of the board, and even sometimes unhealthy power between family and child. To be honest with you, where I believe that religion is liberation, right? Religion is about having a relationship with Allah that teaches me how to have a responsible relationship with my parents, with my friends, with my family and others. So this book, alhamdulillah, is the fruit of that experience. And the second thing is, as I said earlier, when I was on Snapchat a few years ago, I took all the questions that people asked me about faith, and I plugged them into this text. So we're going to go through an actual Ezhar textbook. Ezhar is like the Hogwarts of the Muslim world, mashallah. Ezhar is like the Hogwarts of the Muslim world without the magic. And then we're going to go through the questions together. So if you actually look at the text that I sent you, there are going to be 9 sections that we're going to cover. It's in the syllabus. And for parents, I have the lesson plans available. So if you contact me through Swiss, I can send you, and I'll put my email address here, swiss.suhaib.com. I can send you, and for the students that are interested, I can also do the lesson plans, and so on and so forth. So, alhamdulillah, let's start actually the first chapter of the book after the introduction, where I talk about my experience in the car, is The first thing that Sheikh Ahmed Dardir, the writer of the book, says and says is a foundational obligation of Islam is something very powerful. And I've always found this extremely beautiful. It's one of the reasons I became Muslim, is because as a Christian, I was told not to think. Right? As a Christian, I was told only to think. But Sheikh Ahmed Dardir, he says, and you can see it in the chat, I put it there for you, inshallah. يجب على المكلف معرفة ما يجب لله تعالى ولأنبيائه وملائكته الكرام. He says that in Islam, the first obligation, the first thing that's obligatory upon any human being from the perspective of Islam is what he's going to talk about now. And this is what we're going to talk about today. What is the first obligation of Islam? And usually, and you can type it, let me ask this question, without looking at the text or without trying to answer from the text I shared with you, what do you actually think the first obligation in Islam is? Like if you were to just based on what you know, just based on what you know, what do you think the first obligation of Islam is? And oftentimes when I ask students this, they say salah, zakah, hajj. You know, they say being a better person, you know, being good to parents. So my question is to you in the chat, and you can type answers. What do you think the first obligation in Islam is? And I'm just going to profess, so you have to forgive my typos. So mashallah, someone said to believe, to worship Allah. Good job, Sana. Excellent. Asim says to read. Mashallah, Asma. Excellent job. Alhamdulillah, Yus, Suleiman, even Allah. So mashallah, all those answers are sort of correct. In fact, Asma is really close. Amna is saying to pray. Sana, to have faith. I really happy to see you guys sharing, mashallah. To think for yourself. Susan Sultan, you're getting a like. I'm actually going to like everybody's because, you know, there's really no wrong answer when you're learning. Learning is the ability to take risks. So if you fail, you can learn from failure. Oftentimes, teachers don't want people to make mistakes, but often it's through mistakes that we learn. Nice job, Bahavna. Good to see you. That's my sister. You know, I was asked my teacher one time, how did you memorize the Quran so well? And he said to me, because I forgot it so well. Like, really beautiful thing. He's like, because when I forgot it, I would go back and memorize it, right? With greater vigor. So the point is, he's saying it's okay to make mistakes, right? Ooh, Huma, I love your suggestion. Do not harm others, mashallah. To worship Allah and do what is told to you. That's excellent, to bear witness that there's no ilah except Allah. Mashallah, you guys, these are great suggestions. And I see Mufti Ikram, who's a scholar, mashallah. Great scholar here with us, alhamdulillah. So, according to Sheikh Ahmed Dardir, and according to the majority of Sunni theologians, putting the text here again that we're reading together, and the link to the text above, mashallah, Shireen, that's beautiful. The first obligation is to think. And in classical Islamic theology, you have this notion of what are called wasa'il and maqasid, means and objectives. So like wudu. Wudu is a means to salah, right? So wudu, since salah is an obligation, wudu now becomes an obligation. So there's a really, really cool point that sometimes in Islam, I'm going to type it here for you, means become the same as their goals. Meaning they take the same ruling. So like wudu, just to make wudu is sunnah, right? To be in a state of wudu. But because wudu is a means to accomplish an obligation, it becomes an obligation. If you can understand at a very young age, and I don't like when people say young people are stupid. No, when you're young, you have greater energy for wisdom. You have greater energy to learn. Like, we don't have this kind of ageism in Islam. We respect respect, and mashallah, we respect our youth. So at this age, between 13 and 15, if you can begin to start to think of your life within the framework of these are the things that lead to other things. So, like, I want to go to college, right? I want to go to a good college. What is going to cause me to go to college? And sometimes when I'm advising students at NYU and they ask me, like, I want to go to Oxford, I want to go to Harvard, I want to go. I had a student, mashallah, she wants to volunteer in a refugee camp in Lebanon. May Allah bless her. We had a student who went to the border of Mexico and America and started under Imam Khalid's guidance. Like, she started an NGO to help sexually trafficked to women that were being kicked out of America by ICE. Like, when I ask these people, how did you get there? I don't like to hear like the beginning. I like to hear the end and walk backwards. So one of the things I want you to think about is in your goals in life, it's every Monday, actually every Monday and Friday in Nusra. I want you to think about walking backwards. So here's my success. I want to be an imam. Okay, how did I get there? Then I go backwards. I graduated from Azhar. How did I get to Azhar? I went to Madrasa. Why did I go to Madrasa? Then what did I do? So try to think about things backwards. So if you look at Salah, Salah is an obligation. So wudu is a key to Salah. So then wudu becomes now an obligation. It's a strategy. Now with faith, how does someone have faith? And I'm going to ask that question. How do you have faith? So, if you can imagine yourself right now as the best believer, how did you get there? How did you get to where you have that iman that you wanted to? I'm going to ask that question to you guys. So, how did you get to that point where I have this high level of faith, my relationship with Allah is healthy. What was key to that process? What was like one of the more important means to achieve that? So go backwards. We tend to think of me and then I have to work towards like faith. No, think backwards. According to the majority of our scholars, and here's what Sheikh Ahmad Dardir says, and this is so beautiful, man. This is so beautiful. The first thing is to learn. The first thing is to think. So he says, "Yajibu ala al-mukallafi ma'rifa." Right here, you see it. "Yajibu al-mukallafi ma'rifa." Because if I don't know, I can't believe. So knowledge, according to the majority of our scholars, comes before faith. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you go to, and let me find the verse for you quickly. Look at this verse in the Quran. And it may actually be in the text I sent you, but I just want to make sure that I'm giving it to you here. If you go to Surah Muhammad, such a beautiful surah, mashallah. If you go to Surah Muhammad, if you go to the 19th verse, the translation kind of loses something. I wish I had the clear Quran translation with me. But because it's by Mustafa Khattab, it's so good. But actually, the verse here, you must know, fa'lam annahu la ilaha illallah. You must learn la ilaha illallah. So learning comes before faith. Isn't it incredible to note, if you look at like the Islamophobes on TV, maybe some bullies at your school, maybe even people around you sometimes ask crazy questions about Islam. They think that Islam is like anti-intellectual. They think that Islam is anti-use of the mind. We are the only religion who its first obligation is to think and learn. And that comes before faith. Allahu Akbar. And that's why over and over in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yanzurun, will they not look? Yatafakkaruna fiha. They think about the heavens and the earth. What is it they're thinking about? They're thinking about Allah. So I want you to understand something in this class. This is not like a class you've ever taken before with a teacher, perhaps, that you've ever had before. I want to encourage you to think. I want you to feel empowered to ask good questions. I want you not to be shy. A shy student can't learn. I don't want you to be those kids that I used to teach and say, sorry, sorry. You know what I actually did in that halakha? I said, whoever says sorry, they have to pay $5 to Islamic Relief or Penny Appeal or Launch Good or something. Like, if you're going to keep saying sorry, then you have to like actually give charity. Don't be sorry for asking a question. It's important to you. And you have that question. So I want you to feel in this halakha that we share together, and tomorrow we'll try to get Crowdcast working again. We had so many people there, it's crazy, almost 1,000 people registered. But the first obligation in Islam, yajibu ala al-mukallafi ma'rifa. As we finish today, inshallah, because of the interesting technical difficulties, and I'm so thankful for your patience and grace, and not getting frustrated or upset. Like, you don't have to worry about me. I'm good. I've been doing this for quite a while, so I inshallah Allah will give me sabr. But what is it that I wanted you to learn today? First of all, my personal story. I thought it was very important to share with you my personal narrative so we can build a real relationship with one another. And then secondly, the introduction to the text, why I wrote the text and why this class is important. And then first is the first principle, that the first obligation is to think and learn. And there's actually a really cool text that I teach a third year or fourth year, called Ibn Ash, and in that he says, أول ما يجب على ممكن من نذر أن يعرفه. He said, the first obligation upon you is to think. So يجب على المكلف معرفة ما يقول الله تعالى ولرسوله وملائكة الكرام ولأنبيائه. He said, the first obligation is معرفة. The word معرفة also is a very beautiful word. He said معرفة. معرفة has two meanings. The word معرفة is from عرف. And araf means to smell. If I say araftu, I smell something. Here's an example I can give you. Like, my wife is Lebanese Persian, so that means I eat really good, alhamdulillah. I cook well because I can't keep up. Oklahoma and Iran and Lebanon, there's no, you can't compare the two when it comes to culinary talents. So my wife's here. I'm somewhere down here with like pinto beans and tortillas. Not even tortillas, biscuits, old school biscuits from the country. She's doing like kebabs and she's killing the game, mashallah. But if you ever woken up in the morning and you think you smell breakfast, you're like, or like at the time of iftar, and you smell something and you're like, what is that? Is that manakish? Is that biryani? Is that nahari? Is that like halal turkey bacon? What is going on? And you smell it, you smell it, you smell it. And then as you get closer to it or as you get to the kitchen, you smell it and then you realize what it is. So the smelling is arf, arf, arf to shay. The outcome when you figure out what it is called ma'rifah. It's really beautiful, right? So when I'm able to make a judgment on what I've smelled, that's ma'rifah. Here in Islamic theology, in our tradition, it's used metaphorically to mean two things. Ma'rifah means two things. And you need to know this. Number one, learning rules and principles. And forgive my typos. Number two is to live. Because in order for me to understand what is being cooked, I have to experience. I have to go and get close to it. I have to go and get close to it. And I can't just be like, wow, this is so cool. Or no, I have to learn some rules. So in my relationship with Allah, there's rules that I learn, and that's what this book is going to teach us, right? At the same time, I have to live faith. I can't just simply, learn and not live. I have to live and learn. I have to live and learn. So the word ma'rifa, when the Sheikh, rahimahullah, he says, yajibu ala al-mukallafi ma'rifatu. When he says the first obligation upon you is ma'rifah, you know what that means? Something really powerful and really invigorating for you. That means that you not only have to learn faith, you have to live it. Allah says about the prophets, yamshuna fil aswaqi wa ma kanu min al-khalidin, that the prophets walked in the markets. They didn't just learn, allamaka ma lam takun ta'lam, Allah taught you. But then, kuntum khayru ummatin ukhrijat linas, you're the ummah that's sent to the people. So let us ask ourselves if we want to be critical in our evaluation of Islamic studies teachers, if we want to be critical of some of our parenting. Are we encouraging children to be inquisitive when it comes to issues of faith? Are we encouraging younger generations of Muslims to ask questions? Are we encouraging them to live faith, or are we incubating them from the world in a way which is perhaps unhealthy? Marifa, that the Prophet's experienced and that the Sheikh is talking about, is the marriage of learning with living. So in my class, this class with you, 13 to 15 year olds, this class with you is I'm going to challenge you to learn. Inshallah, when this virus is gone, I'm going to challenge you to live. And then you're going to reflect your experiences back to me, so you teach me. A good teacher isn't someone who just teaches, a good teacher learns. So this class is about learning and living. Learning and living. Not just learning and not just living. To live without learning would to be like heathenry. To learn without living would be hypocrisy. So Islam is about the marriage of learning and living. What a beautiful religion. Our religion is dope. And that's why it's important to study classical texts, because the classical text sometimes subtly accomplishes. So when Sheikh Ahmed Dardir, rahimahullah, says yajibu ala al-mukallafi ma'rifa, first obligation is to learn and live. Not just to learn and not just to live. Heathenry is to live without learning. Learning without living is hypocrisy. And that's why now you can appreciate Surah Al-Fatiha. That's okay, M. Pray for us. And when you go pray, you can come back. It'll be recorded, inshallah. It will be nowhere, inshallah. Surah Al-Fatiha, at the end of it, what do you ask Allah? Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim, sirata al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Guide us to the straight path. The way of those who earned your favor. Who are those who earned your favor? According to Ibn Qayyim, those who earned Allah's favor are those who learn and live. Learn and live right. Not just live, live right. Ghayra maghdubi alayhim, those who learned and didn't live right. What a dhaleen, those who went astray are those who live without learning. So subhanAllah, every sign in Surah Al-Fatiha, every time we say, guide us to the path of those you blessed or those you favored, we are actually asking, guide us to Ma'rifah. Woo! Oh yeah. Yeah. I think you guys are going to enjoy that, inshallah. So, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, I'm asking Allah to make me someone who learns and lives. Then he uses the word mukallaf, and tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to talk about what is the mukallaf and what it is that we should learn. I can take any questions that you have. Now, I see a lot of questions about scheduling. Always listen, whenever I teach a class like this, I'm going to give you housekeeping items before and after. This class is taught three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's on Crowdcast, but today so many young people, mashallah, we had 1,000 young people register, came there, that they broke the internet, man. Forget the Kardashians, man. We got the Muslims breaking the internet, mashallah. We break it with Noor, you know what I'm saying? We break it with light, alhamdulillah. So, and we moved it to Facebook Live. If on Wednesday at 2:00 Eastern, we have another problem like this, we will come directly to Facebook Live and teach again. So the book is posted. The PDF is there. You can register Miriam at, if you put Swiss, S-W-I-S-S. Let me put the link up for you. Here's where you can register. Swiss event. Right. So hey, but so let me put this link for you. Here's the schedule of all of the courses that we're offering at Suhaib Web Institute. Everything is free. Alhamdulillah, we have classes for 13 to 15 year olds, this class, 16 to 18 year olds, which is about to start in a minute. We have Imam Abdullah Dani, who's going to be teaching a class to 19 to 20 year olds. We have Sheikh Hassan Fay, who's going to be teaching college students. We have Sister Rumaysa, who's doing yoga on Saturday mornings. Sister Mubarak Ibrahima, and Mubarak Ibrahim is going to be doing fitness on Sundays. We have a class tonight on Tazkiyat Nafs with Sheikh Imran Sulha. So there's a lot happening. It's all free. If you want to support the work that we do, you can enroll at Swiss for $10 a month. That's all we ask at swissweb.com. Inshallah, we'll see you guys tomorrow. And for all the technical issues that we went through, my apologies. If tomorrow when we jump on, Wednesday when we jump on the Crowdcast platform, if it still has problems, immediately we'll come here and we'll meet you guys here. But I appreciate your patience. So what did we talk about today as we finished? We talked about my personal narrative to build a relationship with one another. Secondly, we talked about parents, you need to email me here to get the lesson plans and the syllabus. On Wednesday, you'll have homework for the first time. I was going to give you homework today, but because I didn't have enough time to start. Yeah, the 16 and 18 is going to start in about an hour, inshallah, dua. And we'll share those homework options with you, inshallah, on Wednesday. And what else we talked about is the idea of the first obligation, the primary obligation of Islam is that means can take the same importance as what they lead to. So like if you want to play basketball, you can't play basketball without a basketball. So the basketball is as important as playing. So wudu to salah, learning to faith is the same. So learning to faith is like that ball to playing basketball. You understand that? So we talked about your life, mashallah, a way of structuring it based on means and objectives. And then I said, walk it backwards, like start from success and ask yourself how you got there. Because you know why? If you can't imagine how you got to be successful in what you're trying to do, then maybe you're not really going to go there. Like you got to have a path in your mind of how you got there. When people come to me like, you know, I want to be an electrical engineer. How? I don't know. How are you going to do it if you don't? And then we talked about the primary obligation of Islam. يجب على المكلف معرفة ما يجب لله تعالى ولأنبيائه ولملائكته الكرام. The first obligation is to know God, is to think and live for God, and to think and live and believe in the angels, and to think and believe in the prophets. Inshallah, on Wednesday, next. And if you want to read ahead, you can, and do the homework. And if you're a student in this class, you can send me your homework assignments here. So if you keep reading, you see a short discussion about what responsibility is, and then there's like five or six questions there. If you have any questions now about the coursework that we covered just now, we can take it. If not, I will see you guys. We'll try once again on Wednesday at Crowdcast, inshallah. Hopefully it will work. If it doesn't work, barakallahu fikum, jazakum allah khairan. And to those of you who joined on Facebook Live, it's nice to see you, alhamdulillah. I pray that everyone's quarantine is an opportunity to find something about our souls and our relationship with Allah, to increase our relationship with our families and this time that we have together. We're going to be starting a class for 16 to 18-year-olds in about an hour. We'll try again on Crowdcast, and if it doesn't work there, we'll move here. Nora, there's no need to re-register. You can just jump in from there, and I appreciate you being a top fan, and I really appreciate that, Nora. You can jump in. Raida, I said homework will be given on Wednesday because today we didn't have time to do the homework because of technical issues. SubhanAllah. But it's a pleasure. And I think especially the young people who stayed patient and, you know, continued. Raida, you didn't miss. Again, homework will be given on Wednesday. There was no homework given today, alhamdulillah. So there was nothing that you would need to think about. But if someone wants to go ahead and read ahead and do the homework that's there, it's in the reading. They can do it, inshallah. Zakamallahu khairan, barakallahu fikum. We really appreciate you. And there are actually going to be classes for senior citizens. There's a class tonight for senior citizens. There's actually a class tonight at 8:30 on purification of the soul with Sheikh Imran. Mashallah, that is open to everybody. We have almost 700 people registered. 400 people registered in that class. Barakallahu fikum. Mufti Saab, it's good to see you. Mufti Ikram, I need to get in touch with you and talk to you about some masail. Jazakam Allahu khairan. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.